Chapter 16, The Fall of the House of Ahab. The evil influence that Jezebel exercised over Ahab bore fruit in deeds of shame and violence. There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Strengthened in wrongdoing by Jezebel, Ahab had followed the dictates of his evil heart until he was fully controlled by selfishness. The things he desired, he felt should by right be his. This dominant trait is revealed in an incident which took place while Elijah was still a prophet in Israel. By the palace was a vineyard belonging to Naboth. Ahab set his heart on possessing it. "Give me thy vineyard," he said to Naboth, "that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." Naboth's vineyard had belonged to his fathers, and he refused to part with it. "The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." Naboth's refusal made the selfish monarch ill. Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, and he laid him down upon his bed, and turned away his face, and would eat no bread. Jezebel soon learned the particulars, and, indignant that anyone should refuse the request of the king, she assured Ahab that he need no longer be sad. "Dost thou now govern Israel?" she said. "Arise, and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry, I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth." Jezebel immediately proceeded to carry out her wicked purpose. She wrote letters in the name of the king and sent them to the elders of the city where Naboth dwelt, saying, "Set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, 'Thou didst blaspheme God and the king.' And then carry him out, and stone him, that he may die." The command was obeyed. The men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, did as Jezebel had written in the letters which she had sent unto them. Then Jezebel went to the king and bade him take the vineyard. And Ahab went down to take possession of the coveted property. The king was not allowed to enjoy unrebuked that which he had gained by fraud and bloodshed. The word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab king of Israel. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whither he is gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed, and also taken possession?" The Lord further instructed Elijah to pronounce on Ahab a terrible judgment. The guilty ruler, meeting the stern prophet face to face in the vineyard, gave voice to his startled fear, "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" Without hesitation the messenger of the Lord replied, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity." The house of Ahab was to be utterly destroyed. And of Jezebel the Lord declared, "The dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city the dogs shall eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat." When the king heard this fearful message, he rent his clothes, and put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house." Ahaziah follows the ways of his father and mother. Less than 3 years later, King Ahab met his death at the hands of the Syrians. Ahaziah, his successor, did evil in the sight of the Lord. He served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked to anger the Lord God of Israel, as his father Ahab had done. Judgments followed. A disastrous war with Moab, and then an accident by which his own life was threatened, attested to God's wrath against him. Having fallen through a lattice in his upper chamber, Ahaziah, seriously injured, sent his servants to make inquiry of Beelzebub whether he should recover. The god of Ekron, through priests, was supposed to give information concerning future events. But the predictions proceeded from the Prince of Darkness. Ahaziah's servants were met by a man of God, who directed them to return to the king with the message, "Is it not because there is not a god in Israel, that ye go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." The astonished servants hastened back to the king and repeated to him the words of the man of God. The king inquired, "What kind of man was he?" They answered, "He wore a garment of hair cloth, with a girdle of leather above his loins." "It is Elijah the Tishbite," Ahaziah exclaimed. RSV. He knew that if it was indeed Elijah, the words of doom would surely come to pass. Anxious to avert the judgment, he determined to send for the prophet. Twice Ahaziah sent soldiers to intimidate the prophet, and twice the wrath of God fell on them in judgment. The third company of soldiers humbled themselves before God, and their captain fell on his knees before Elijah, and besought him, "O man of God, I pray thee, let my life, and the life of these 50 thy servants, be precious in thy sight." The angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, "Go down with him, be not afraid of him." And he arose, and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed whither thou art gone up, but shalt surely die." During his father's reign, Ahaziah had seen the terrible evidences God had given apostate Israel of the way in which he regards those who set aside the claims of his law. Ahaziah had acted as if these awful realities were but idle tales. He had followed Baal, and at last had ventured upon this, his most daring act of impiety. Rebellious and unwilling to repent, Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. Modern satanic forms of worship. Men today may not pay homage to heathen gods, yet thousands are worshipping at Satan's shrine as verily as did the king of Israel. The spirit of idolatry is rife, although it has assumed forms more refined and attractive than when Ahaziah sought to the god of Ekron. Faith in the sure word of prophecy is decreasing, and in its stead superstition and satanic witchery are captivating the minds of many. The mysteries of heathen worship are replaced by the obscurities and wonders of spiritistic mediums. The disclosures of these mediums are received by thousands who refuse to accept light from God's word. Many who shrink from the thought of consulting spirit mediums are attracted by more pleasing forms of spiritism. Others are led astray by Christian Science and by the mysticism of theosophy and other Oriental religions. The apostles of nearly all forms of spiritism claim to have power to heal, and there are not a few who go to these healers instead of trusting in the living God and the skill of well-qualified physicians. The mother, watching by the sick bed of her child, exclaims, "Is there no physician who has power to restore my child?" She is told of the cures performed by some clairvoyant and trusts her dear one to his charge, placing it as verily in the hand of Satan as if he were standing by her side. In many instances, the future life of the child is controlled by a satanic power. God had cause for displeasure at Ahaziah's impiety. What had he not done to inspire Israel with confidence in himself? Yet now the king of Israel, turning to ask help of the worst enemy of his people, proclaimed to the heathen that he had more confidence in their idols than in the God of heaven. Men and women dishonor him when they turn from the source of strength and wisdom to ask help or counsel from the powers of darkness. Those who give themselves up to the sorcery of Satan may boast of great benefit received, but does this prove their course wise or safe? What if life should be prolonged? What if temporal gain should be secured? Will it pay in the end to disregard the will of God? All such apparent gain will prove at last an irrecoverable loss. Ahaziah was succeeded by Jehoram, his brother, who reigned for 12 years. Throughout these years Jezebel was still living and continued to exercise her evil influence over the nation. Jehoram wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, but not like his father, and like his mother, for he put away the image of Baal that his father had made. Nevertheless he cleaved unto the sin of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, which made Israel to sin, he departed not therefrom. During Jehoram's reign over Israel Jehoshaphat died, and his son, also named Jehoram, ascended the throne of Judah. By his marriage with the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, Jehoram of Judah was closely connected with the king of Israel and followed after Baal like as did the house of Ahab. Moreover he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication, and compelled Judah thereto. The king of Judah was not permitted to continue his terrible apostasy unreproved. The prophet Elijah could not remain silent while Judah was pursuing the same course that had brought the northern kingdom to the verge of ruin. The prophet sent Jehoram of Judah a written communication, in which the wicked king read the awful words. Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, but hast walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and hast made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, and also hast slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself, behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people, and thy children, and thy wives, and all thy goods, and thou shalt have great sickness. In fulfillment of this prophecy the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines, and of the Arabians, and they carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also, and his wives, so that there was never a son left him, save Jehoahaz, Ahaziah, Azariah, the youngest of his sons. And after all this the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And, in process of time, after the end of 2 years, he died of sore diseases. And Ahaziah, Jehoahaz, his son reigned in his stead. Ahaziah ruled only 1 year, and during this time, influenced by his mother Athaliah, his counselor to do wickedly, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Jezebel, his grandmother, was still living, and he allied himself boldly with Jehoram of Israel, his uncle. The surviving members of the house of Ahab were indeed his counselors, to his undoing. RSV. While Ahaziah was visiting his uncle at Jezreel, the prophet Elisha was divinely directed to send one of the sons of the prophets to Ramoth-Gilead to anoint Jehu king of Israel. The combined forces of Judah and Israel were at the time engaged in a military campaign against the Syrians. Jehoram had been wounded in battle and had returned to Jezreel, leaving Jehu in charge of the armies. The messenger of Elisha solemnly charged Jehu with a special commission from heaven, "Thou shalt smite the house of Ahab thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord, for the whole house of Ahab shall perish." Jehu takes the kingship. After he had been proclaimed king by the army, Jehu hastened to Jezreel, where he began his work of execution. Jehoram of Israel, Ahaziah of Judah, and Jezebel the queen mother, with all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, were slain. All his great men, and his kinsfolks, and his priests were put to the sword. The temple of Baal was laid in ruins, the idolatrous images burned. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. Tidings of this general execution reached Athaliah, Jezebel's daughter, who still occupied a commanding position in the kingdom of Judah. When she saw that her son, the king of Judah, was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. In this massacre all the descendants of David who were eligible to the throne were destroyed, save one, a babe named Joash, whom the wife of Jehoiada the high priest hid within the temple. For 6 years the child remained hidden, while Athaliah reigned over the land. At the end of this time, the Levites and all Judah united with Jehoiada the high priest in crowning the child Joash and acclaiming him their king. And they clapped their hands, and said, "God save the king." When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and blew with trumpets. Athaliah rent her clothes, and cried, "Treason! Treason!" But Jehoiada commanded the officers to lay hold of Athaliah and her followers and lead them out of the temple to be slain. Thus perished the last member of the house of Ahab. The terrible evil that had been wrought through his alliance with Jezebel continued till the last of his descendants was destroyed. Immediately after the execution of impenitent Queen Athaliah, all the people of the land went into the house of Baal, and brake it down, and his images brake they in pieces thoroughly, and slew Matan the priest of Baal. Reformation followed. Those who took part in acclaiming Joash king had covenanted that they should be the Lord's people. And now that the daughter of Jezebel had been removed from Judah and the priests of Baal had been slain and their temple destroyed, all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet.